Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints to help us to navigate the challenges of life. And today we have a navigator extraordinaire.
Of the interior life.
Of the interior life. We regularly invite him to our conferences. He's a wonderful, a priest who contributes to the spiritual well-being of the church, along with Father Thomas Acklin, Father Boniface Hicks. We're going to talk about a great book today. But before we do, Stephanie's going to introduce Father Boniface, for those of you who may not know him.
So Father Boniface Hicks became a Benedictine monk of St. Vincent Arch Abbey in La Trobe, Pennsylvania in 1998. Since his ordination to the priesthood in 2004, he has provided spiritual direction for many men and women, including married couples, seminarians, consecrated religious and priests, even as he completed his PhD in computer science at Penn State University. He became the programming manager and on-air contributor for We Are One Body Catholic Radio in 2010 and has recorded thousands of radio programs on theology and the spiritual life. He has extensive experience as a retreat master for laity, consecrated religious, and priests. He became the director for spiritual formation for St. Vincent Seminary in 2016 and director of the Institute for Ministry Formation at St. Vincent Seminary in 2019 and has offered many courses on spiritual direction and the spiritual life. He is the author of the book, Spiritual Direction, A Guide for Sharing the Father's Love and Personal Prayer, A Guide for Receiving the Father's Love, all published by our friends at Emmaus Road Publishing. There welcome, Father Hicks.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
I will say this too. This show is not about your spiritual direction book, but I've written a very popular book on spiritual direction, which is just an introductory book, which is mostly the kind of stuff that I do. But Father Hicks and Father Acklin have written what I consider the best book on spiritual direction in print. And you should check it out. It's a spiritual direction, a guide to the Father's heart. Is that right? Did I get the title right? Sharing the Father's heart. Okay. Great.
Thanks.
Very good. So it's an excellent work. But today we're talking about his newest book, Through the Heart of St. Joseph. And we're excited to do that for a number of reasons. We started this year consecrating ourselves to St. Joseph and the community of Apostoli Viae. As well, Father, I don't think you and I have ever talked about this, but I was actually healed by St. Joseph.
Really?
I won't tell the whole story because I want you to talk more, but basically I had required two heart surgeries, and the first one went well. The second one, what it was intended to correct, which was of course all medically verified, I had a priest pray over me who had the gift of healing, and my second artery that was blocked, not completely, but 60%, was unblocked. And he said to me after praying over me, please do something for St. Joseph. St. Joseph is the one that healed you.
Wow.
And so I...
Through the intercession of St. Joseph.
So I, for years, struggled a little bit with how to do something more for St. Joseph, but it's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, and we've had Father Calloway on his great book on consecration, just to honor St. Joseph, and you've really done an extraordinary work. I think, you know, Father Calloway endorsed your book. Maybe a bit of a contrast might be helpful from you regarding his book and yours, because his is focused on consecration, and then maybe give us an overview of the book and tell us a bit about it.
Well, I also endorsed his book. He didn't print all of the endorsements in the book, but it's on the website, and I was grateful to read it before it came out. And I love what he did in bringing together a tremendous amount of research, quotes from saints, really pressing into the tradition and making so accessible to so many people, along with a 33-day way of consecration to get to know and to draw closer to St. Joseph. I would say that my book is a nice complement to his book. If you've read his book, I think you'll be able to go deeper with my book. I think my book also can lead into his book. I really think it's a nice complement. My focus was, and I started writing this book about 4 years before it was published, and St. Joseph has been really important in my own life. I got to know him just starting as a deacon, newly ordained priest, and then especially about 10 years ago, went deeper into that relationship, and then I've just become fixated, I don't know, obsessed in some way, maybe not quite that extreme, but really have enjoyed growing in relationship with him. And I wanted to write a book that would help others to grow in relationship with him. So I really wanted to emphasize that relational aspect of prayer to St. Joseph. And Stephanie mentioned the other books that I've co-authored with Father Tom Acklin. Another way to look at this for those who have read those books is Through the Heart of St. Joseph is kind of an application of the book Personal Prayer to a relationship with St. Joseph. So again, I really wanted to focus on how do we develop a relationship to St. Joseph, not just who is he and let's learn a lot about him, let's get the facts straight. Father Calloway did tremendous work in all that, and I was so glad that he did. But how do I develop a relationship? So I basically offer five pathways. Two of those pathways are ways that we can adjust ourselves so we can present our hearts such that we enter into a relationship with him. Two of the pathways are becoming like St. Joseph to enter into relationship with him. And then another pathway, which is the afflictions of life which come at us. We don't choose those, but St. Joseph is a great help. So just to list those quickly, and those are each of the chapters. Each one is focused on a different pathway of a relationship. By becoming little, we can experience St. Joseph as a father. By becoming vulnerable, we can experience St. Joseph as a protector. To become like him, we can become silent and discover that he is silent with us. We also can become hidden, and we can discover that he is there in the hiddenness with us. And then, as I mentioned, the last pathway is one that we wouldn't choose but comes to all of us, which is affliction. And St. Joseph is a comfort in our affliction. And then the last chapter kind of brings it together and presents a way that we can share St. Joseph with others by creating an atmosphere, an environment in which St. Joseph is lived out. And I would propose that St. Benedict was the first to do that and put it in a rule which has lasted for 1,500 years. Benedictine monasteries in some way are the Joseph option to create an environment in which others can live the life and grow closer to St. Joseph. So that's sort of the structure of the book, and happy to dive into any part of that a little more deeply.
That's really beautiful, Father. So why don't we start with this idea of becoming vulnerable, because I think it's a really difficult concept for most people today, like this understanding of, you know, how do I become vulnerable? Won't I get hurt? I mean, we live in a world that is so brutal that we tend to go to self-protection. And I know that for a lot of people to enter into prayer, to even enter into a relationship with the Lord, this idea of becoming vulnerable is like a mountain too high to climb. Tell us about becoming vulnerable so that we can receive St. Joseph's protection. How do we do that, or how do we understand that?
A beautiful question, and you're absolutely right, Stephanie. It's so hard and it's so critical. And we have the example of our Lord himself. Our Lord became absolutely vulnerable, entrusting himself as a zygote, we could say, as a fetus into the Holy Family. And we know the struggle that was there, and St. Joseph engaged in that struggle, what his role was to play. But God asserted, I chose you for this, and I want you to remain and even act as the father for this child. You shall name him Jesus. And so we see God's own example in becoming absolutely vulnerable and as a fetus, as an infant, and then even threatened by the evil ruler Herod, and God entrusts himself to St. Joseph's care, to Our Lady and St. Joseph, to the Holy Family. And it's St. Joseph that then the angel appears to in a dream to send to Egypt to protect the child. And this becomes the mode of St. Joseph's protection. He is certainly a strong man, and we can imagine he may have had the idea to, I don't know, fight back, raise an army, defeat Herod. But the instruction of God was to be obedient, to be humble, to be silent, to disappear. And so he gathers up his little family and he disappears to Egypt. So one answer to your question, Stephanie, is learn to become like God. Look at the example of Jesus. One of the things he reveals to us is that divinity, which we often think of as infinite power, is revealed actually in infinite vulnerability, beginning with the infancy of Jesus and then culminating in his crucifixion. God reveals himself as infinite vulnerability. That's what divine power manifests itself as. And so he gives us the example that gives us courage. He does that also entrusting himself to St. Joseph and Our Lady. And that also helps us. It's easier to become vulnerable when we're with someone who protects us, someone that we can trust. And that is the way that, the healthy way that vulnerability develops. So I'm not encouraging everybody to go and hemorrhage their entire life onto Facebook. So this is not healthy vulnerability, right, to splash everything on the headlines. But we develop through a relationship of trust with someone who is a faithful protector. And we find that in St. Joseph. So we take a step in, he takes a step in presenting himself as protector. We take a step in vulnerability. We experience his protection. And this is the kind of growing cycle that we can enter into.
You know, we're going to head into a break here. When we get back, I would like to know, Father, what was your first encounter with St. Joseph? For me, there was a few. One, the movie The Nativity. This is a Protestant construction, but it really showed the strength of St. Joseph in a striking way. Very beautiful. Mm-hmm. The other is through the writings of St. Teresa of Avila. Those are the two that really begin to draw me to, you know, take interest. Of course, you cover that in your book. But St. Teresa noted that if you can't find a good spiritual director, go and trust yourself to St. Joseph, which I did for a time in a sense. But when we get back from the break, tell us a bit about your own personal story, how you were first connected with St. Joseph, which of course led to your devotion and all the good work that you're doing. We're headed into a break and we'll be right back.
Hi friends, we want to personally invite you to check out all of our upcoming retreats here at Avila. Head over to spiritualdirection.com/events or click on the events tab on the top of spiritualdirection.com and sign up now for one of our powerful mini retreats, Setting the Captives Free or Into the Deep or Divine Intimacy in Marriage. Now with both live and online options, our mini retreats can be live streamed right into your living room or parish meeting room. Discover why these events sell out time and time again. That's spiritualdirection.com/events, register today. There is a growing need for well-formed, solid spiritual directors in the church today. The Avila Institute, in collaboration with Heart of Christ Spiritual Direction Program, offers a certificate in spiritual direction for those who feel called to accompany others in their journey towards God. The program is grounded in Ignatian and Carmelite spirituality based on a Catholic worldview and draws on the wisdom of the saints with an emphasis on biblical principles and the new evangelization. This program offers both online and on-site classes. Discover more and apply today at avila-institute.org.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're with Father Boniface Hicks sharing with us about his new book, Through the Heart of St. Joseph, which I think you can find at EWTN's religious catalog. When you buy books there, two great things happen. One is they actually send you the book, and you help the ministry of EWTN. Father, before the break, I mentioned I want to hear a little from your own heart. You know, what led you into this relationship with St. Joseph?
Thanks, Dan. I love to share that story because it's part of God's story in my life, but also as an encouragement for our listeners, because I think the most important thing about developing a relationship to St. Joseph is just asking, first of all. And that was the beginning of my journey. which actually began back with Our Lady. I'm a convert to the Catholic faith. And when I was on my way into baptism at Penn State University back in 1997, when I was 21 years old, I didn't know a lot about Our Lady. And I knew that she was important for Catholics. And I just asked her, Mary, I want to know you more. And I don't get it, but please help me. And within 9 months, I was making the Louis de Montfort consecration and had had several encounters and had developed a very warm relationship with her. So several years later, I was preparing for my diaconate ordination. I was on retreat with Father Tom Acklin, who you mentioned earlier and is the co-author of two of the books that I've written and has been a spiritual father for me for now 18 years. And I was praying in the chapel of the Passionist Nuns in Pittsburgh, and I was kneeling. Where I was kneeling, there was a statue of St. Joseph right in front of me, and I looked up at him and I thought, you know, I don't really know you, and this prayer worked with your wife, so let me give it a try again. St. Joseph, I would love to get to know you better. And then I was assigned as a deacon to the parish of St. Joseph. I returned there as a priest to preach the solemnity of St. Joseph. And in the meantime, one of my brother monks discovered a book by Andrew Doze called The Shadow of the Father. It's a different book than Pope Francis mentions, which is also called The Shadow of the Father. Andrew Doze was a chaplain at Lourdes, and he brings out a number of really interesting insights. Among them was the connection with St. Teresa of Avila and the history in which he figures prominently in opening up devotion to St. Joseph. And a number of really interesting starting points for reflection. And that's what really launched my own personal relationship with St. Joseph. I began to read more, to study more, and again, to pray more. I really wanted to develop a relationship with him, not just learn a bunch of facts. I'm in danger of living in my head too much. I'm a happily intellectual person, and I love the intellectual life. But I wanted my relationship to St. Joseph not just to live in my head with a lot of interesting facts and trinkets and comparisons and ideas and things like that, but to develop into a real relationship. And so I took a lot of the text from scripture into prayer. I reflected on a lot of the things that I was reading. And I took so long to write this book, Through the Heart of St. Joseph, because I wanted to pray with everything and be able to validate in my prayer everything I was writing.
That's awesome, Father. What I love about your question to both Mary, or just really your recognition of Mary and Joseph and saying, you know, hey, I don't know you, but I'd like to know you, is how incredibly personal that is. And the affirmation that the saints are really their souls that go on forever. They're real and they want to have a relationship with us. So I really love the simplicity of that. But in order for you to do that, you needed to enter into prayer and you needed to enter into silence. So you, in your chapter on A Friend in Silence, you know, it's noted that St. Joseph has no dialogue. There's no sentences attributed to him in the Bible. So how is he a friend of silence? Is it strictly on that, or is there other aspects about him, and how can we become a friend with him in that silence?
Yes, St. Joseph received the full revelation of God in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and his role was to hide it, was to keep it to himself, was to live this hidden life, in contrast to the apostles' role, which was to proclaim it. And we get that sense, and it's developed also just through the tradition of the church. He's not recorded as saying anything in Scripture. Of course, we know he said things. He was told to name the child Jesus. Presumably, he did that. He also married Our Lady, and there's a ritual that goes with that, and lots of other things that he certainly had to use words for. But the Christian tradition, the pious tradition, has been that he was a man of silence, and that's signified by him not having any recorded words in Scripture. And he certainly was a man of silence in cultivating that hidden life, that interiority, receiving the revelation of God and keeping it to himself. And so we have a picture of a man with a lot of interior strength and not a lot of words to go with him. And that's a beautiful invitation for us to also enter into his example.
Yeah, I mean, you said not a lot of words. You think about the, as we were talking about Facebook, everybody splashing their innards, if you will, all over the Facebook. But what's radically different, or I don't know how I always say it, there's such a difference between doing that and true intimacy and a true self-revealing. And silence, I think, can be a very powerful spiritual practice where we spend time on a weekly basis, or of course daily in mental prayer, but even in terms of how we live out our lives, so few of us have silence. I remember Pascal and Penzias noted that people would just spend a little time in silence, it would change the world. So St. Joseph is a beautiful witness of that. Talk to us a bit, of course, about St. Teresa of Avila and her role in promoting St. Joseph, and how she speaks of him, and how we ought to heed her counsel related to all of that.
Well, St. Joseph's silence extends to the church's early tradition about him as well. And there was no feast of St. Joseph until the 900s, I believe. One of the original feasts is attributed to Benedictines. And then just a beginning of, there's some early discussion about him and the fathers of the church, and then some beautiful things from St. Bernard in the beginning of the 12th century, St. Bernardine of Siena and the Council of Constance, a few things percolating about him. But St. Teresa of Avila discovered St. Joseph after she lost her own earthly father and found a father in St. Joseph who then provided for everything. And she recognized in him a master of the interior life. She entrusted her first Carmel of the Reform to his care. And she spoke in glowing terms about the way that he provided for in her needs. And it created a stir of devotion that was also inspired in part St. Francis de Sales, who promoted St. Joseph broadly around the same time. And there was a real surge in a recognition of and devotion to St. Joseph, really spurred on by St. Teresa of Avila. She becomes a real watershed in the history of St. Joseph devotion.
We're talking with Father, my brain just went dead.
Boniface Hicks.
I know Father Acklin, I know both of them, but they came to my head. Yeah, so we're talking with Father Boniface Hicks about Through the Heart of St. Joseph, and a great companion, if you've read Father Calloway's or done the Consecration to St. Joseph. They're really two books that go well together. But Stephanie had a question about suffering.
Absolutely. You know, you talk about him, one of his attributes being steadfast in suffering, and it's something that a lot of people are experiencing right now. A lot of young people are trying to avoid. A lot of people are trying to avoid suffering at all costs, often to their own destruction. So how can St. Joseph help us to deal with suffering, which is a reality of life, which is something that we should learn how to carry and offer up to the Lord, to join it to his suffering for the salvation of our own soul and souls of others? How can he help us be steadfast in that when sometimes that cross can be really crushing?
Well, we see in St. Joseph a man who had passions that were well developed and were brought together for a real strength of heart. And so he endures suffering and is steadfast in the midst of the kinds of affliction, like being told to get up in the middle of the night and take his beautiful wife and infant child and go to Egypt, which requires a fair amount with no hotels and no Google Maps. And he had to pack up a few tools, I presume, his trade of carpentry, and hope that he was going to be able to find work on the road, be able to provide for his family. There's a suffering of uncertainty. Where is this going? How long will it last? There's the suffering of that protective heart that cares for his wife and infant son. And those examples of St. Joseph demonstrate for us the way that his passions, his manly passions in the Thomistic sense of that word, his manly strengths and movements of heart were brought under the guidance of reason. And so there's a real strength that manifests itself there. And in the book, I go into a little bit of the passion of anger, which is good and can be also under the guidance of reason, form into a virtue. And St. Joseph didn't lash out, but rather channeled that anger, certainly against Herod and the evil that was being done, in order to find strength for the journey and to persevere in protecting his family. So he gives us a model of virtue and a model of trust, obedience, humility. The way that he engages that is under the care of God and under the guidance of the angel in a dream. And those are good examples for us to look to as well. He, of course, couldn't unite it to the cross because that wasn't an option for him in his life. But, of course, it is an option for us, knowing that all suffering has been taken up into Christ and has been offered for us and made a fruitful offering to the Father. And so ours also can become fruitful with his.
We've been talking with Father Boniface Hicks, a new wonderful book, Through the Heart of St. Joseph. I will say this about Father Boniface. There are a handful of folks who are really doing some exemplary work in the church to encourage and strengthen the faithful. He's among them, and I would say that anything he does, look it up, follow it, read it. You're going to be blessed. We're grateful, Father, for having you with us today and for all the good that you are doing in the church along with Father Acklin and helping the faithful deal with the challenges of our time to grow in holiness. Thank you so much for all of your good work.
Thanks, Dan. I feel the same way about you and Stephanie and Avila, and so grateful to be with you and to work together with you.
Awesome. Thank you, Father. So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.